Picture kneeling beside dusty boxes, opening a decades-old letter from your grandfather to your grandmother, who by then had dementia. In it, he mentions making love on a hilltop in the 1930s. What does that mean? One aunt whoops with delight, convinced it proves Grandpa was a hypocrite about all those virginity lectures. Another aunt, a former nun, insists it couldn't possibly mean what everyone thinks. Here's the fascinating part. In the 1930s, making love simply meant romantic courtship. But Grandpa wrote this in 1997, fully aware of both meanings. Was he using nostalgic language or confessing to premarital relations 60 years later? Each family member interpreted it through their own values and experiences. And that's exactly what critical thinking looks like, not finding the right answer, but recognizing how our lenses shape what we see. Critical thinking isn't about tearing down everyone else's ideas. It requires questioning our own beliefs with equal rigor. From the moment babies mouth objects to explore texture and taste, we're building worldviews through constant, unconscious judgments. Educational expert Arthur Costa defines it as using strategic reasoning, insightfulness, perseverance, creativity, and craftsmanship to resolve complex problems. It's what gives us wisdom, social ease, adaptability in crisis, and personal growth. It helps us decide when to trust and when to be suspicious, all while checking our own biases. Today's teenagers process more information daily than their great-grandparents did in a month, making discernment more crucial than ever. Yet we often teach children to question outside information while accepting home-taught concepts without scrutiny, a selective skepticism that creates cognitive blind spots lasting into adulthood. True critical thinking demands metacognition, thinking about your own thinking. Self-aware thinkers observe their assumptions, notice complexity, and develop meaningful personal values. They ask themselves, how do I know this, and what evidence supports this belief? Daniel Kahneman's research shows that self-control strongly correlates with quality thinking. Just as children with impulse control can delay gratification, good thinkers delay the satisfaction of being immediately right, resisting first impressions to consider multiple perspectives. We crave certainty. When challenged, we reflexively declare, "That's not true." This drive stems from public education's history of standardization, where traditional classrooms prioritize uniform knowledge and consistent measurements. What if we replaced certainty with intimacy? Instead of seeking mastery, we could develop a tender, curious relationship with subjects, embracing complexities, reading advocates and critics alike, recognizing mystery within every discipline. Like learning to ski, students should start with bunny hills of basic facts before tackling steeper slopes involving dissenting opinions and ethical challenges. Understanding core terms help. Facts are irreducible information existing independently of beliefs. Interpretation is the meaning we assign to facts. Perspective represents our frame of reference. The concept of academic disposition protects learners exploring new ideas. Witness viewpoints without rendering immediate verdicts, allowing unfamiliar perspectives to exist alongside current beliefs. By 16, naturally curious children often become opinionated know-it-alls with rigid answers. Education systematically replaces wonder with answer-giving, prioritizing correct responses over persistent curiosity. Paulo Freire called traditional education the banking concept, all-knowing teachers depositing information into supposedly empty minds. The alternative, problem-posing education, where children become trusted partners solving meaningful problems alongside adults. Critical thinking flourishes when teachers ask good questions in emotionally supportive settings. We're most curious when we know a little, but not too much. This knowledge gap creates what George Lowenstein calls a mental itch, driving us to seek information. When the right piece snaps into place, learning happens. Picture walking alone down a dark alley at night. That visceral reaction to a purely imagined scene reveals how mental, silent films shape our beliefs, whether built from facts or unconscious assumptions absorbed from family, media, and culture. Keen observation means noticing without judgment. Children progress from basic sensory experiences, bright, loud, soft, to complex personal interpretations where a fragrant perfume triggers either comfort or threat based on memory. The N2I2 framework, notice, name, identify, interpret, provides this foundation. For teenagers, shift from concrete objects to abstract issues. Select a topic like immigration or climate change, then examine the mental images unconsciously influencing your view. Who do you imagine? What settings? Urban or rural? Wealthy or poor? These unconscious images profoundly shape opinions on complex issues. Identity forms how we perceive the world. Pierre Bourdieu's Habitus explains how we internalize unwritten rules as common sense, mistaking learned perspectives for universal truths. Drawing on Dr. Goldie Muhammad's work, identity has three features: who we are, who others say we are, and whom we desire to be. For those experiencing discrimination, this becomes W.E. Du Bois's double consciousness, seeing themselves through both their own eyes and society's potentially biased lens. Critical thinking requires representation, seeing oneself reflected in learning materials, to develop confidence engaging diverse perspectives. Toni Morrison's question, "What can I do where I am?" transforms education from accumulation to purposeful action. She used her editor position to solicit biographies of civil rights activists, advancing social change through her unique talents. Games provide ideal conditions for developing critical thinking, because children voluntarily engage with them. As Bernard Suits defines it, playing a game is the voluntary attempt to overcome unnecessary obstacles. Games foster flexibility, persistence, questioning, and innovation in a pleasurable, low-threat environment. Today's information landscape demands rapid judgments about facts, opinions, ethics, and research validity. Young people encounter wonderful resources alongside propaganda, bias, statistics, conspiracy theories, and exploitation. To evaluate statistics, understand how data is measured and its benchmarks. Teaching children to ask, "How's the data measured?" helps spot exaggerated claims. Stanford researchers recommend reading laterally, gathering information about the writer or organization before diving deep into content. Fact checkers use taking bearings, opening multiple browser windows to verify sources before accepting information. Understanding our silent films and the sources we consume is crucial for developing genuine critical thinking. Learning about bears illustrates three distinct levels of understanding. Children's books offer safe, two-dimensional characters like Paddington. Zoos provide deeper appreciation. Real bears, with their size, smell, and sounds, reveal their majesty. But the most profound understanding comes from wilderness encounters, like meeting an 8-foot bear while trying to pee in the woods. This visceral experience overwhelms anything learned from field guides. Three levels of learning exist. Reading, the handiest but limited. Reading about violins doesn't equal knowing them. Experience, watching performances, visiting instrument makers, and encounter, actually playing the violin, which transforms understanding. Each level puts more of ourselves at risk, but creates a more skillful relationship with the subject. Reading becomes dangerous when we draw tidy conclusions without testing them in the real world. Direct experiences are learned in the body, by the body, for the body. When direct experience isn't possible, imagination offers a third path, the believing game. Understanding viewpoints from the inside through imaginative language, metaphors, and narratives advances conversations more effectively than immediate logical responses. The greatest challenge in raising critical thinkers is making room for dissent. When children think their way away from our worldview, families should be the one community that won't reject them. We can ask good questions, helping kids examine their reasoning, urging them forward with curiosity rather than suspicion. The evidence of critical thinking is changing your mind, a process often coming with costs like altered social standing or habits. Our children need to know they can survive challenges from others when they overturn beliefs. We must stand by them even when finding their reasoning incomplete, or they'll learn to be propagandists or secretly hold subversive beliefs. The ideal context for critical thinking is humility, the flexibility of thought and heart enabling ongoing rethinking rather than certitude. Interpretation represents the apex of critical thinking, our continuous effort to make meaning from everything we encounter, a dance between messenger and receiver where the original message collides with the interpreter's context to create fresh meaning. In a world demanding certainty, we need courage to embrace complexity and trust that thinking well matters more than thinking alike. Critical thinking isn't about perfect answers. It's about developing the capacity to sit with uncertainty, question assumptions, and remain open to challenging perspectives. When we teach children to think critically, we equip them to navigate complexity with wisdom and intellectual courage. We show them it's okay to change their minds, that admitting uncertainty is strength, and that important questions rarely have simple answers. By modeling this thinking ourselves, questioning, learning, growing, we create families and communities where critical thinking flourishes, where people disagree without being disagreeable, and where pursuing truth matters more than comfortable certainty. This is the gift we offer the next generation, not fixed answers, but intellectual tools and emotional resilience to keep asking better questions and growing in wisdom throughout their lives.